Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Tuesday. Hope it's going beautifully for you this morning. Good to be with you on a Tuesday and every day right here on EWTN. Much to talk about. Coming up right after the break, we're going to be checking in with Janet Morana, of course, a host of Defending Life on EWTN television. She's also the co-host with me on The Catholic View for Women, also on EWTN. She is the, of course, executive director of Priests for Life and the co-founder of Silent No More Awareness Campaign that works with post-abortion men and women. So Janet is coming on this morning to talk about a way forward as we move toward the midterms. What can we do as a people of life to make sure that we are educating ourselves, educating others on what's going on with these various elections and these various amendments? So really important steps that Janet is going to give us and kind of just give us an overview of what's been happening and what she's seeing from a frontline perspective of the pro-life movement. So Janet joins us at just about 15 minutes past the hour after our first break. And then this is another really important interview, and I hope that you will go to the archive section and share both of these interviews, firstly with Janet and secondly with Jarell Godsey, who's the head of the amazing organization Heartbeat International. The website is heartbeatinternational.org. Now, Jarell is going to be talking about a number of things, including the attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. And so there have been many, unfortunately, and we pray for the perpetrators, of course, but there have been many attacks, physical attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. There has also been a huge war of words and misinformation. Lest we forget how Senator Warren claimed that pregnancy resource centers are torturing women. That is pretty much an exact quote, part of a longer quote in which she came out against pregnancy resource centers. And the pro-abortion movement is always talking nonstop. They always say the exact opposite of what is really happening. They claim that pro-lifers care nothing about women and only about the babies. And yet, who are the ones who are caring for the whole person, the whole family, the unborn child, the mother, the extended family, offering all sorts of resources, whether they be financial, whether they be in goods that they need for the children, a stroller, a bassinet, a crib, food, diapers, help to doctor's appointments, parenting classes for up to 4 years in some cases, and on and on and on. Is Planned Parenthood doing that? Is your local abortion facility doing that? Call them up and ask if you don't believe me. Find out what they have available. Find out what they do if a woman decides that she wants to keep her child or place that child with a loving adoptive family. See what kind of services they have. If they're supposedly all about women making choices. Everything they say is just the opposite of what they do. I'm not a psychologist, nor do I play a Dr. A or Dr. Popchick on TV, but that's called, I know this much, projection. So, really looking forward to also speaking with our friends from Heartbeat International and giving you two very solid pro-life segments, or actually three, two with Janet, one with Jarell, that you may and should share. Post it on Facebook. Tweet it out. Share it with people. Share it with your Bible study group. This discussion on these issues, it's a huge discussion that's going on right now because of the post-Roe v. Wade world in which we are living. And we have to be out there with any platform that we have to speak the truth in love. So, all right, I'll get off my soapbox for now. Now I have to give you the weather and let you know what's happening there. Weather-wise, we still are going to get some unfortunate bad weather in terms of extreme heat. Some areas of the country are cooling down, but others are still affected by this. And then the rain is still a problem in some areas as well. So the National Weather Service is telling us dangerous heat impacting portions of the Northwest into the North Central Plains and the Northeast. Heavy rain and flash flooding continuing to threaten the Southwest portions of California and into the Great Basin and most of the eastern part of the country. So still a mixed bag out there in terms of various extremes of the weather happening in August as we move through the rest of the summer months. It is a busy Tuesday morning. It is August 9th, 2022. Let's check out and see what's happening in the news. A busy morning. As soon as I can open my newscast, there we go. Technology is wonderful when it works. 5 minutes past the hour now. Let's hear the news and let you check in and out of what's happening in the world. Catholic News Agency reporting this morning a gunman shot at a Denver area Catholic church in separate early morning incidents over the weekend and yesterday as well. No one was hurt, but one estimate is suggesting those gunshots caused tens of thousands of dollars in damages. Catholic News Agency is stressing that the parish staff says we need to pray for the perpetrator and emphasizing they are taking the utmost security precautions. We are praying for the conversion of whoever did this. That's a quote from Deacon Derek Johnson of Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Catholic Church. If there's any opportunity to speak to the person responsible, we'd be happy to speak with them and have a dialogue. Johnson speaking after two separate rounds of gunshots hit the parish church in an unincorporated Adams County just north of Denver. Local sheriff's office is handling that investigation. And the same day last week that Indiana adopted an abortion ban with limited exceptions, Catholic News Agency also reporting this morning that the governor there signed into law another measure the state's Catholic conference says has the potential to help families. The Indianapolis Star is also reporting that the measure, which received broad bipartisan support, provides for a tax exemption for an adopted child. It also cuts the state's tax on children's diapers, caps the gas tax, and increases the adoption tax credit. It also creates a $45 million fund for a variety of family-related programs and initiatives. And that's good news out of the state of Indiana, says the governor and other pro-life leaders. In other news this morning, a woman accused of causing a fiery multi-car crash that left six people dead, including an unborn baby near Los Angeles last week, facing murder charges now.
Her vehicle, Shearer car, that exploded into flames. There's catastrophic damage to the families and friends of those killed and injured.
That's the Los Angeles County District Attorney confirming that Nicole Linton has now been charged with six counts of murder and five counts of gross vehicular manslaughter. If convicted, she could face up to 90 years behind bars. She was taken into custody after being hospitalized with moderate injuries. The victims who were killed included an infant and a pregnant woman. Former President Donald Trump is confirming that the FBI executed a search warrant today on his, or yesterday on his Mar-a-Lago resort. Trump issuing a statement saying his home was under siege, raided, and occupied by what he called a large group of FBI agents. The former president, who was in New York at the time, added that they broke into his safe. He summed it up as an attack by the radical left Democrats who don't want him to run for the presidency in 2024. He also said that Hillary Clinton had not been held to account for deleting thousands of emails and removing items from the White House. And Florida's top law enforcement officer, meanwhile, is questioning the FBI's credibility in light of the agency's raid of the home of the former president.
We're just waiting for this institution to be rebuilt into that institution of respect and independence and faith.
That's Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, who told Fox News that she was not notified prior to the raid.
You expect that the FBI will treat everyone the same, every case the same, so that the American public can have faith in this institution.
Moody made the comparison also, as did Trump, to Hillary Clinton's email controversy. Meanwhile, the FBI's decision to execute a search warrant at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home on Monday is unprecedented, especially for a non-sitting commander-in-chief and one who has indicated that he might run again. That's according to a former special agent in charge who spoke with Fox News Digital on Monday. We just have not investigated presidents, he says, after they've served their term. His name is Michael Tabman, and he's a former head of the FBI's Minneapolis field office. He added, it's a major move by the FBI and that the political sensitivities are clear. He added, it's obvious they're dealing on a very short or tenuous political climate when you go out and investigate a president, especially one who says he may be running for office again. He says there's a lot of steps that have to be taken. He says first prosecutors have to write and present a search warrant to a judge. Then the judge, who has to agree to it, they have to have probable cause shown that a crime has been committed. There has to be evidence of the crime in the location that you state at the time you plan to execute the warrant. He said there's a lot of information that you have to be very convincing of to a federal judge, and that he says they scrutinize these warrants very carefully. And House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says if the GOP takes back the chamber after November's midterm elections, they will investigate the Department of Justice. McCarthy claiming the DOJ, which has not commented on the raid yet, has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicization. It's alleged the search is connected to documents which are being sought by the National Archives. In other news, Mark Mayfield tells us Taiwan says a military drills launched by China following House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit are part of a game plan for invasion.
During a press conference Tuesday, the Taiwanese foreign minister said China's exercises are an attempt to weaken public morale in Taiwan. The foreign minister did not give a timetable for a possible invasion of the island nation that China claims as its own. China continued with live military drills around Taiwan Tuesday after originally saying they would end on Sunday. Beijing said the new round of exercises planned to focus on blockades and resupply logistics.
Officials in Uvalde, Texas, insisting that safety and security are a top concern for them following that deadly shooting in May that left 21 people dead. During a special school board meeting last night, concerned residents, including this man, questioning the purpose of security measures if they are not properly implemented.
I still don't understand how you go and you create this policy, you implement it, you adapt it, and then we get it so wrong. It just fell apart.
Some of those improvements mentioned by the school board last night include new fencing, 500 security cameras, additional DPS officers at campuses, and counseling services. The district has delayed the start of school until September 6th to provide more time for those security upgrades, and parents who still are not ready to send their children to school can opt for in-person learning and will have that option to enroll kids in the virtual learning program for this next upcoming school year. Hot, dry, windy weather continues as fire crews battle the McKinney Fire near the California-Oregon border. Fire behavior analyst Dennis Burns says a red flag warning remained in effect all the way up until 11 o'clock last night.
We had some very fast-moving thunderstorms come over the area. Now we're on the lookout for some potential lightning starts.
The McKinney Fire has burned over 60,000 acres, destroying nearly 90 houses a week after breaking out in Northern California. And yesterday afternoon, residents in the area affected, well, they'll now be able to return home. The blaze 40% contained at this point. And that same fire is also claiming the life of a veteran U.S. Forest Service employee. Here's Julie Ryan.
She was a legend in her community. That's how Forest Service spokesman Tom Stokesbury described 73-year-old Kathy Shootman. As a wildfire lookout, her job was spotting smoke and reporting its location. Her accuracy with fire locations got her named Lookout of the Year in 2015. On July 29th, the McKinney Fire broke out. Crews tried to contain the fire, but it took off within hours and burned through the community of Klamath River, where Shootman lived. She and three others in her neighborhood were unable to escape the fast-moving wildfire, the largest and deadliest of the year so far in California.
Eastern California shaking yesterday afternoon, meanwhile, after a magnitude 4.4 earthquake striking near the Nevada border south of Lake Tahoe. The three-mile-deep quake hit 5 miles northeast of Walker at 1:44 p.m. local time, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, some people as far west as San Francisco did report feeling the shaking. However, no damage or injuries have been reported. Almost 14 minutes past the hour now. It's a Tuesday morning. Hope your Tuesday is going well. It's August 9th, and we come back. Some great action items from Janet Morena on how to make a difference as we move toward the midterms and the importance of electing pro-life leaders and making sure we know what's being put before us if we're being asked to vote on a particular amendment. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average. on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Every single one of us can make a difference, and there's no excuses. We're all called to evangelize by virtue of our baptism, and no time like the present, especially what's facing us in this country, in this post-Roe v. Wade world. We have to make sure we know the issues and be able to explain them lovingly. And Janet Miranda does this so well. She is the co-founder of Silent No More Awareness. She's the executive director of Priests for Life. She's my co-host on The Catholic View right here on EWTN. And she's also the host of another wonderful EWTN program, and that's Defending Life. Janet, so much to talk about. There is so much going on in terms of what we can do. We've got the president of Heartbeat International coming up right after you, trying to keep this whole pro-life theme, and they're going to be taking a look at some of the attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers, but also all the good that these resource centers do that a lot of people, even in the Catholic world, the pro-life world, aren't all that familiar with. So it's really important to educate ourselves on that. So what does it look like to you? I know you monitor things in the situation in terms of pro-life reps, different amendments. What are you seeing out there in the culture right now in the landscape?
Well, you know, as you know, we are a divided nation right now, Teresa. I mean, it kind of reminds me when you read about the Civil War. This is what we have, the North and the South, and we have the left and the right, the pro-life and pro-abortion. And we have got to stick with it. We have got to educate and speak up. I'm finding since the leaked document and now with the overturning of Roe and Casey, people are actually talking to me in strange places, you know. You know, my new book, Everything You Need to Know About Abortion for Teens, which, by the way, you can get at EWTN or Religious Catalog. I even had a flight attendant ask for a copy the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you get up to use the restroom, you start talking, you know, and they ask the famous question, so, Jenna, what do you do? And I explain, really? Oh, wow. You know, I wish I could learn more about that. I said, well, you know, I wrote a book. Really? You wrote a book? And we start talking. I said, well, I happen to have a copy in my...
I just happen to have a copy.
Yes. What else can I do now, Teresa? I always keep a couple of copies in my computer bag, and I gave her one. She goes, thank you so much. She put it in her luggage, you know, the flight attendant. I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then last week on another plane, the passenger sitting next to me, you know, asked the question again, what do you do? And they had to go to the conversation. And then I mentioned I wrote a book. Really? Show me, what's the title? And I tell her, like, she didn't, like, jump out of her seat and go, ah! You know, she said, oh, you know, that sounds interesting. You know, there's so much talk about this. I'd love to know more information. I said, well, I haven't. She goes, how can I get your book? I said, I have a copy right here. And she took it. And she goes, oh, how much do I owe you? I said, nothing. As long as you promise you're going to read it, you can have the book. And so she took it. She goes, oh, I can't wait to read it. And I got a teenage son. I'm going to give it to him. I was like, it's the strangest injury. So what I think the advice to everybody is, when you get up each day, think about the encounters you can have in a positive way to talk about this issue. Because people are confused. The other side is using fear-mongering. This whole thing about, you know, if abortion is banned in your state, women who have miscarriages and ectopic pregnancies are going to die. Brothers and sisters, that's such a falsehood. Charlotte Loggia Institute, by the way, you can Google that, you know, look it up on the internet. They did a great piece, and they have quotes from some Catholic pro-life OBGYN.
Yes, I saw that. I actually shared it on Facebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a great piece because you can use those quotes because they tell us about the Catholic faith and how we deal with ectopic pregnancy and miscarriage. First of all, there's two terms everyone has to get straight, all right? Let's just think about this. A miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion. And I've had people tell me that, oh, yeah, when I went to the hospital when I was miscarrying and I signed the paperwork, the word abortion was on the paperwork. I said, yeah, because it's a spontaneous abortion, and I have to go in and make sure, you know, that they take out the baby, and you can actually get the remains of your baby, and that's another whole topic for another day.
Right,
Teresa,
right. Mm-hmm.
To talk about. I said, but an elective abortion means you are deliberately allowing the death of your unborn child, who is a healthy baby, no reason, blah, blah. You're going to go in and kill the baby. That's the difference. So, you know, we have to, like, get this squared away that, no, any state that bans abortion will not prevent doctors from treating women with ectopic pregnancy or miscarriage. Please, brothers and sisters, get that out there, because the secular media is just slamming that away, and they're using it as a get back. You know?
Well, but here's the thing that confuses people is because there are medical, quote unquote, professionals who have bought into the pro-abortion lie, and they're the ones, they're on some of the talk shows saying this thing, and they're doctors. So people say, well, this person's a doctor. He or she must know what they're talking about.
Right, right. Yeah. You know, well, also there's pro-abortion doctors, and there's abortionists, I don't even want to call them doctors, who make a living on killing babies. So, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's, check the source. I always say check the sources giving you the information. You know, and so we have got to have these conversations with people in a very calm fashion, because hearts and minds are being changed. I'm seeing it. You know, I gave out books in the beauty salon last week, or as I like to say, Teresa, the beauty parlor.
Beauty parlor, as again, Rosie used to say, the beauty parlor. Yeah.
The beauty parlor. Again, it was the same situation. My hairdresser knows the work I do, and she said to me, you know, my teenage son, he was going to start responding to people on Facebook. And I said, you're not allowed to comment on Facebook till you get more information. She goes, I'm going to bring you Janet's book. So I came in with a few copies and a few other musicians. Oh, I'll take one for my kids. You know, so there is this hunger out there with people who are not involved in the pro-life movement, who don't even understand the issue, but because of all the hoopla in the news, they're waking up and saying, well, what's this all about? I got to learn some more. No, I'm not in favor of killing a baby. No. So they want to know. We have an obligation to spread the light into the darkness of the culture right now. But God has kicked open the door, brothers and sisters.
Right.
We got to walk through it. We got to walk through it. And shame on you if you're not doing it. That's what I have to say. I mean, I've been waiting for an opportunity like this, Teresa, for 30 years. You know, Father Frank and I would always say, like, when are they going to get abortion off the back burner and put it on the front burner? Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's on the front burner and the pot is boiling. So let's go. That's what I feel we have to do. So,
well, I think we have to always ask questions when people make these statements. And you talk about this. And by the way, we're chatting with Janet Miranda from Priests for Life and EWTN and the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, giving us a kind of a landscape view of what's happening out there in the pro-life movement. And as primaries wrap up and we move toward the midterms, and she'll give us some action items as well, in addition to getting information, having it, and steps we can take to make a difference. But I had a conversation 2 weeks ago with a nail technician, and I was on the phone with Deacon Dominic when there was something going on. I saw something on my phone regarding that ridiculous amendment in Michigan and something else our governor had pulled, our pro-abortion governor. And so Dom and I were talking about it, and the nail tech was listening, and she was asking me questions. She says, well, she says, I don't believe in abortion for myself, but I wouldn't want to tell anybody else to do. And I said, well, why are you against it? Why are you, I'm just curious, why are you opposed to abortion? And she said, well, it's a baby. And I said, well, shouldn't that be the end of the discussion? I said, if you're saying that you understand this is a life, why are you saying it's okay for other people to kill a baby? And she just kind of looked at me, she says, well, there's all kinds of situations. She says, when is it ever acceptable to take a human life purposely? I mean, especially an innocent child. And I said, there's all kinds of circumstances that people claim. I said, but there's so much help out there. And it was a very nice conversation. She didn't get angry. She's like, I never thought of that. I have to think about that. And I just raised a few questions. When I go back, you know, next week or the week after, I'll, you know, if I get the same nail tech, I'll talk to her again, you know, share information.
Right.
You know, but you can't be afraid to engage. And I didn't get angry. I just said, really? I said, that's interesting. Why do you feel that way?
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, Teresa, too, I think if you back people up from the extreme down, you can kind of get them on our side. So, for example, when they say, oh, overturning Roe, blah, blah, blah. See, first of all, abortion is still legal in a lot of states, and it's legal up to birth. When you say abortion is legal, 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy, up until birth, it could be a healthy mother and a healthy baby. They go, really? Yes. That's the law currently in California, New York, Vermont, Illinois, New Jersey, you know, and a few more states are going to be added. So when you say that to most people, they go, well, that's not right. Ah, okay, so you're not, so you can't just say I'm in favor of choice or I'm in favor of abortion because you got to know what you're talking about.
Right.
So, okay, so you're not in favor of abortion in the 7th, 8th, or 9th month of pregnancy. And most people say, no, that's ridiculous. That's too far. Okay, great. Are you in favor of abortion if the baby can feel pain? And then they go, what?
Right.
Well, you have to realize that at a certain point in the pregnancy, the baby can feel pain. The neurological system is developed enough that the baby will feel pain.
Yep. Well, hang on. Take a breath. And you know the cue. I can hear you stop because you know it's coming up. We're going to the break. More with Janet Miranda with great information and advice on how to enter into conversations, which are so crucial, especially right now. As Janet said, the Lord opened a huge door for us with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and we need to walk through it with confidence and love and peacefully because we have the truth on our side. More with Janet Miranda coming up 25 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned. Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Two of the hardest words to say in the English language. I'm sorry. I'll ask couples, when was the last time you said I'm sorry? I think it was our wedding rehearsal dinner. I spilled some coffee on her lap. I said, hey, sorry about that. Why is I'm sorry so hard to say? What does it mean to you? Are you saying you're a failure? Are you saying I'm wrong? Are you saying, if I say I'm sorry, I'm admitting it's all my fault? I'm sorry are two of the softest words in a relationship in the English language. I'm sorry, very hard to say, very easy on relationships.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 29 minutes past the hour for our Southeastern Michigan peeps. My dear sister Janet Miranda is going to be the keynote speaker for the pro-life dinner of Macomb County Right to Life on September 22nd at the beautiful Mirage Banquet Hall. And Janet will be on the local hour in the near future to discuss that. But again, for our Michigan listeners, you can go to the link. I love this. lifeisapeach.org. Focus on life dinner. That's the theme. So Janet joining us here in Michigan in September. Okay, JM, so are you giving us a battle plan? You gave us some great ideas in terms of way to enter into a conversation and lovingly ask questions and get into a discussion and explain what's really at stake here in terms of the extreme, extreme levels that the left is going through to codify abortion everywhere through 9 months of pregnancy, and then, of course, many of them even supporting infanticide. In terms of what we can do about passing information on, how do you see this going with the election? What are your thoughts in terms of what you heard over the weekend at CPAC, and what's the whole landscape look like for us in the pro-life perspective?
Well, you know, I think we can be very victorious in November, but it's going to be each and every person doing their job. So the job is, first of all, make sure you're properly registered to vote. So you can go to a government website, checkyourvoterregistration.com. Go there, checkyourvoterregistration.com, put in your address, your name, and all your information, and then they'll tell you. You'll see if you're properly registered. If that's A-okay, well, then now get a hold of all the like-minded people you know and make sure they're also properly registered to vote. Because, Teresa, believe it or not, when you survey most church-going people, there's a bunch of them that just aren't engaged in the system.
Right.
Don't vote. And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, our Catholic faith tells us, it's right in the catechism, we have a duty to vote. It's there. And so step one is make sure you got to be in it to win it. Well, you got to be registered properly to vote. That's point one. And then you're going to get like-minded people. And then you're going to look at the candidates. Because one thing we've learned, you know, between trying to push critical race theory, all this gender garbage in schools, you've got to look at everything all the way down the ballot, you know, to school board, to county commissioners, because those kind of people move up the ladder sometimes. I mean, look at Obama. He was a community organizer. You know, so you have an obligation to not only just vote, but be a well-informed voter. So there's a few steps you can take. Number one, there's a great website to go to, iVoterGuide.com. It's iVoterGuide.com. First of all, this is a 501c3 friendly website. So guess what? Priests and deacons and everybody, you can put this in your church bulletin. Know where, who the pro-life candidates are. Go to iVoterGuide.com. The reason being, Teresa, they will take a candidate and they will show both candidates, you know, Republican, Democrat, and they'll show where they stand on several issues. So you could see bird's eye view. You could read for yourself and see who the pro-life candidate is. And they do it down the ballot. They sometimes don't get, like, say, to the very local things, like school board or some of your local judges. But I tell people, now that's no excuse. You can find out, and I do this right here in Florida, because I'm new to Florida, so I don't necessarily know a lot of names and things. So what I do is, I see what iVoterGuide has, and then I take my little notes of what they have, and then when I have candidates on the ballot that they don't have there, I take that person's name, Teresa, and I go to the internet and I look them up, because every candidate has a website of some sort. And if you look at the website, you can see, oh, what are they saying? What are they supporting? What is their platform? Mm-hmm. People put very telling things up there. It gives like a clue. They may not say, some of them may not say I'm 100% pro-life. But if they start to put certain conservative principles up there, you can kind of say, ah, okay, that looks like the better candidate. And also, too, you can look to see who is supporting them, who is endorsing them, and who's donating to them. That speaks volumes. And so that's what I do before Election Day. I get the sample ballot, and I actually do my homework. I make all my little notes on my little cheat sheet, and then I go in and I vote accordingly on Election Day.
But you know what? You are not the average voter, and here's the problem. And you and I know this, and I totally agree, and this is great instruction, and we all need to do this and make sure that we're going back and listening to this interview again, because you're giving us such really good basic stuff that can make a big difference, not just for us in terms of our own knowledge, but to help other people understand. The problem is, and Dr. Agarindi and I talk about this all the time, that people are running their lives, whether it's a personal life, their professional life, especially when it comes to even their faith life and voting, through emotion. This is how the left wins. And this is what really has me worried. From a media perspective, some of these commercials that they're putting out, I was just talking when I was down in speaking in Atlanta over the weekend, JM, to a wonderful group of ladies, and on the way to and from the airport, we were talking about these very slick commercials that the left has produced, showing these women in these right. very difficult circumstances and tugging at the heartstrings. Never talking about, you know, the baby, never talking about the word abortion, but making it sound as if, oh, isn't this beautiful how they're still offering women choice and we have to protect this. People see that, and they, and just like, for example, with, you know, not to highlight Trump, but people talked about his mean tweets more than they did anything else regarding the election, regarding the Supreme Court nominees, regarding religious freedom, regarding pro-life. It was his bombastic approach at times. And people ran and you know, to the polls for a certain thing regarding that. And I still hear that today. Different candidates that check that affect people in a negative way, people don't stop and think and say, okay, well, wait a minute. I don't like this, but I do like this. I do like what this party or this particular candidate stands for. They are representing, for the most part, not everything, but when it comes to my values, this is what they represent. It's still too much emotion. And I just don't think we're prepared to combat. That's my feeling from a media perspective.
Well, you know, Teresa, it really comes down to, are you voting for a personality or for policy?
That's I agree, really, but people don't live their life with reason. That's, you know, I mean, that's what's so frustrating, unfortunately. So many people don't.
Well, see, we as Catholics, though, we're under obligation to vote and vote properly according to our Catholic faith, which means we're supposed to be voting for candidates that will advance the pro-life cause, not go against it. So let's just start with parties, all right? This is very simple. It's in the party platform. I'm going to quote now. The Democratic Party in their platform has that they want abortion, unfettered right to abortion till birth, basically, is in their party right. platform. They want to get rid of Hyde and Helms Amendment, okay, which is taking taxpayer money overseas for abortion. Et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you look at the Republican Party platform, they say they would support a human life amendment, 100%. All right?
Right. So we're out of time. We have to have you back on as we continue to get closer to the midterm. So, so important. But, Janet, where can we find the most information about these issues in Priest for Life?
Well,
what's the best website?
Go to prolifevote.com. Prolifevote.com gives you everything you need to know for the election.
Thanks, my dear. Great discussion, Janet Miranda, and we'll be right back to talk about pregnancy resource centers. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
I'm going to tell you about the most abused woman I ever met in my life. You know her name as Roe, as in Roe versus Wade. I talked to Roe. This woman is a great penitent. This woman is a humble person who was deeply hurt. She was kneeling in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, the National Shrine in Washington, when I met her. And I thought, what reverence. I didn't know who this woman was, but she was praying with reverence, with great fervor. And I asked a priest friend of mine, who is that? And he says, oh, that's Roe. God is not mocked. This woman was abused by those who propagate the killing of children.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
He's not on drugs. Parents will come into my office and describe a litany of trouble about this long. Then they'll say this, I'm giving you the wrong impression. Overall, he's a pretty good kid. How so? Well, he's not on drugs or anything like that. One of the new moral high bars out there, he's not on drugs. You want to raise a child not with the absence of pathology, but with the presence of virtue. She's miserable with me, but she treats everybody else great. Again, not the absence of bad behavior, but the presence of good behavior. He's not on drugs? It's a rationale. May provide some comfort. It's not a path to virtue.
We are your pro-life radio and TV network and your online pro-life source, both AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com, co-producers of this program, Catholic Connection. Continuing our pro-life conversation as we move closer to the midterms, we have got to get the word out about the amazing work of pregnancy resource centers. And that's why we have the wonderful leader of Heartbeat International on with us this morning, heartbeatinternational.org. Terrell Godsey, God love you for all the great work you do. So how goes the battle, my friend? What's the latest? Good morning.
Oh, it's exciting, Teresa. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you again. It's always a pleasure. But, you know, it's kind of odd, though. Something is happening at the Supreme Court, and the first thing the other side can do is think to go out and protest churches and pregnancy centers, of all things, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
It's been a bit crazy, but the good news is that's exactly what the pregnancy center movement is all about. It's exactly what we were called to do is simply help and love on women. Every woman should be loved and supported in their pregnancy. How hard is that to understand?
Right. So let's talk about the numbers in not just with Heartbeat, but overall. We have CareNet, we have Heartbeat, and groups like yours are just doing such amazing work. When we look at the numbers compared to abortion facilities, where are we standing right now, Jarrell?
Well, actually, as of earlier this year, we have more than 2,800 pregnancy help locations, service locations around the United States. That's just in the U.S. And even as we watch more abortion clinics close, thanks to Dobbs, we are now approaching for every one abortion clinic, there are four pregnancy centers.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we don't have the billion-dollar budget line that they get, you know, supported by the government and the way that they are, but we have local grassroots efforts that are making opportunities for women to choose life every single day.
What do you find are your biggest challenges, especially with the decision from the Supreme Court, thanks be to God, on June 24th to overturn Roe v. Wade, did not ban abortion, went back to the states, which was the primary, you know, summary of that Dobbs decision. What are you seeing in terms of the attacks on pregnancy centers? I know I'm asking you a bunch of questions, but they kind of all are connected.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, have they gone down? Is it quieted down? What are you seeing out there? And what do you consider right now going into the midterms, Terrell, your biggest challenge?
Well, the biggest challenge for us is to kind of understand how the other side is reacting. We have, you know, I don't know about you, Teresa, but I've seen the term ectopic pregnancy like explode in the last 8 weeks. Suddenly,
we just talked about that with Janet Morana and the misinformation on that and miscarriages, right?
And suddenly that's the issue. So part of it is reacting to this kind of, I don't want to say silly. These are not silly things, but they are certainly they're certainly outsized for what they're trying to suggest. That hey, if any of those things are an issue, then therefore we must, you know, have abortion on demand. So kind of reacting to where they are and really reacting to the claims that they're making. When we have the likes of Elizabeth Warren coming out and somehow not implying but directly stating that we're torturing women,
yeah.
Like we're not
mm-hmm.
the one that are torturing women. No, you know, no woman has died in a pregnancy center ever, and yet they can't say the same thing about abortion clinics, and they're refusing to even follow the rules and investigate those, which is where we get Gosnell and others who have been heinous abortion providers, and then we have the good work of pregnancy centers being unfairly maligned. So there's an overarching like narrative that's difficult to counter because we just really want to love on women and walk with them through their pregnancy and help them make the choice for life.
Well, it's always the opposite. When they say something, you have to realize it's the opposite of what's happening because it's called projection. Not that I'm a psychologist, as I said, but it's but the torturing women, she actually used those words, that you're torturing women.
Yes. Yes. And of course, torturing them, meaning that we're providing another choice other than abortion. So really what she's doing is essentially shilling for the abortion industry. And I'm a bit of a cynic when it comes to those things, because I think that's largely because she's completely funded by the abortion industry.
Exactly.
As far as
right.
her politics. But at the same time, she hasn't bothered really to understand what happens in and through pregnancy centers. They've been around for 50 years. They've been helping women make positive choices for all of that time. We don't coerce or engage anyone, but we really just walk them through and help them really explore what they want, what their heart is, what their desire is. And no one wakes up desiring an abortion. They usually mm-hmm. are pursuing one because they can't think of anything else. And that's exactly what the pregnancy centers come and do and help them do just that. Think of other pathways that honor her vision, honor her dreams, and help her achieve those and overcome the temporary instance that pregnancy is to really step into that future that she wants.
We're talking with Jarrell Godsey, the president of Heartbeat International, heartbeatinternational.org. So here's the point that I brought up with Janet toward the end of our conversation. I know you're very familiar with the great work of Janet Morana from Preach Your Life and Silent No More. And she was giving us great instruction, great steps to take action items to take leading up to the midterms to put more pro-life people in office and to make sure that we're understanding some of these amendments that are before us, especially like the one that we could, God forbid, be voting on in November here in Michigan. My concern, Jarrell, and you know me, is from a media and a cultural perspective, in addition to obviously all the pro-life issues, and they play on the emotion and they put out these dramatic and totally inaccurate fictional statements. For example, you mentioned Elizabeth Warren saying that you torture women. So people often don't, and I know this just from, even they said this when I was in journalism school over 40 years ago. They didn't go beyond the lead paragraph. Now they don't go on beyond the tweet or the headline. So if they see something like pregnancy centers, whatever they want to call us, torture women, ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, they won't be able to get emergency services. So they put those little nuggets out there, and that's what people hear, and they hear it over and over and over again. I even have our listeners writing us, asking us about this. And so how do we counter that? Because the messaging is so important.
Well, this is the challenge. We need to echo the good work of pregnancy centers. We have stories all the time that are talking about really the true experience that women have. And to kind of put it into in the mouths of the client, so to speak, every single study of exit interviews of women who have been served in the pregnancy centers has come out with a rating of yes or even they're great. So something that says yes, we were satisfied with our service, we were treated well. To like, I think the number is 97% and 98% in two different studies over the last 10 or 15 years. And so that just shows that what the actual experience is that women are cared for, they're respected, they're honored, and if they're being tortured, it's by these kind of headlines that are really designed to support the abortion industry. But the people that know and understand pregnancy centers need to be the ones echoing that. A lot of times centers are attacked with, say, fake reviews. Well, we need true reviews. If you have a pregnancy center near you, go on their website and say, hey, we appreciate what they do. They do good things, and just say good things. The centers themselves can use that kind of a positive affirmation, but these are the kind of things that others look at, that people who are looking, they look at the reviews of services, just like you would do with a restaurant, or if you're planning a vacation, they're looking at those reviews. And the other side knows this, and so they'll put that same messaging right in their reviews. But we can overcome that when we talk about the positive things that pregnancy centers, we together, not just those that are inside the center, but those that love and support them outside of the centers.
What is the effort, and you may know this, maybe there's not a national effort, but there could be statewide, of pregnancy resource centers, pro-life movement, getting some of these beautiful stories and using little snippets, little sound bites that we can tweet and that we can post, because that's really important to tell the beauty and the truth of an experience that a family or a woman has had in a pregnancy resource center, even something 30 seconds, 60 seconds, to get those nuggets out there in terms of grabbing the hearts and getting people's attention to let them know what's really going on in the pregnancy center movement.
Well, those are happening, and Heartbeat's doing that. There's Option Line, which we operate, 24/7 call center. We're publishing some of those. The abortion pill reversal is having successes, and we're able to kind of replicate those stories. There isn't a coordinated effort nationally, but certainly there are things happening within the movements. The centers themselves are putting out this information. If, hey, it's easy to go and like the page of the local pregnancy center and then retweet what they post when they're posting those stories. We put out all kinds of things at pregnancyhelpnews.com, that story after story of women who walk through challenging situations and overcome those. So they're out there. It's harder to kind of do in a coordinated way, but we have a lot of great folks. Our friends at Live Action are doing it well. Mm-hmm. Students for Life are doing it well. They're the ones who are probably the best and most far-reaching in that social media world. And, they're, of course, messaging on a variety of ways. But this, powerful story of pregnancy centers and the successes that we have every single day is getting out. It just needs to be amplified.
Well, and that's where we all come in, because most of us still have Facebook pages and Twitter accounts and at least some sort of social media access. And we can even if we don't have a social media account, we can go and post on other sites. So that's really important to get those little clips or to get those talking points and to put them out there. So what else can we do in terms of helping to get the information out about pregnancy resources and all that you do?
Well, it's certainly important, Teresa, that our own community knows who we are. Our own community knows what's happening. That means our faith community, the church that we're in. We want to make sure that the ability for people, for women who are pregnant, to find the pregnancy help community, that's important. It's largely been a multi-brand kind of effort. There's one big brand like Planned Parenthood on the pregnancy center side, and that actually can work very effectively. But one of the weaknesses is that it's harder to be known nationally. But it's happening everywhere, and so it's important that we go to our priest, we talk to our pastor, we connect with our those that are in leadership in the area, and say, hey, are you aware of this, or how can I do more to make our church be aware of this? Because the saddest thing to me would be for someone who needs the pregnancy center to intervene would be sitting in a church and not know that
exactly.
church knows about them.
Exactly.
And so we really want to connect with her. We may have an uphill battle fighting the big media and the headlines, but we know how to reach women and how to help women. We just need the people of faith who believe in life and who are want to champion life to help us promote life.
I think we forget how one-on-one and that grassroots, informational campaign it can be so effective. Again, we're talking with Jarell Godsey, president of Harping International, harpinginternational.org. Before we go, we have about 3 minutes left, Jarell. I wanted to mention Senator Lee and the resolution he put out there recognizing pregnancy centers. Your thoughts on that?
Well, hallelujah for Senator Lee, for Tillis, for Cruz, Rubio, Hawley, all of those. I know Marsha Blackburn in as well. We were grateful that someone took the time to kind of capture really the good work of Pregnancy Center on a national basis, where we're talking about thousands upon, well, actually every year it's nearly 2 million women that are served in pregnancy centers, that are people that are connected with. And then within that we count more than, we estimate 300,000 babies are saved every year through the work of pregnancy centers. And so
Amen.
We're grateful that
wow.
they saw it as an important thing to do, to say, yes, this is happening. And by the way, this happens largely because of good folks in every community making it happen.
Yep.
Not money being shoveled from Washington like our friends do, but really happening because of the good grace and the really powerful heart that rises up in every community across the country. And so we're grateful for that call out. And he talks about National Pregnancy Center Week, but we think they should be celebrated every single day.
So when is National Pregnancy Center Week?
Well, they designated as November 7th. That'll be the first occurrence of this National Pregnancy Center Week. Harpeat actually did something a while ago where we do a Pregnancy Help Appreciation Week, which also happens to be in November. And so we'll be excited to kind of pull those two concepts together and grateful for our senators who are recognize the good work of pregnancy centers and are making that known in our nation. We wish more people would agree that this is not something that should be controversial. It's something that should be supported.
See, and everything is always the opposite of what they say. They talk about choice, but to them, there's only one choice, and that's abortion. And anyone or any place that gives women options, true options, such as adoption, maybe placing a baby with a loving adoptive family, or deciding to raise the child themselves, please God, if that's what they desire to do, or adoption, of course, is such a powerful, beautiful option, that's not an option for them. It's all abortion or nothing.
That's true, and this is where we've the fact of Roe and what it did to our nation and really our national psyche is it's kind of pushed away some of the problems that women are facing as they face pregnancy. We've relied as a country on abortion. We've expected it as an outlet. And so now I hope that our senators, including Senator Warren, will step up and say, how do we help these women have something besides abortion? Like, that should be the conversation, not running to protect something, not to have abortion states and life states. We've been there. We were there 150 years ago with a different moral imperative. And today we don't want to be retrenched in that same idea. We really want to find ways to help women so they don't have to choose abortion.
And I really wish, and I mean this sincerely, that Senator Warren and the others who keep attacking pregnancy centers would go see exactly what you're all about, because the pro-life leaders in Massachusetts, they actually wrote an open letter to her saying, come on in, we'll show you what we do. Jarell, thank you so much. God bless your work, and we just love Harpeat and all that you do. HarpeatInternational.org. Check them out and see what the Pregnancy Resource Movement has been doing for decades, folks. They've been out there on the front lines where the rubber meets the road. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak, and our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
So appreciate your listenership. Check us out, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Tomorrow is a Wednesday, middle of the week, and that means we go to Rome, the Eternal City. Joan Lewis, our very own Joan's Rome, giving us an update with the Holy Father and any messages he has for the people. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.